Glasses, jacket, shirt. Call me glasses, jacket, shirt, man. That was like the first like shit post, I feel like.
What do you mean?
Just that whole video was like a full, I don't know. I feel like that's probably like the beginning of millennial comedy, probably.
Oh, yeah. But it just
something incredibly stupid, but is like actually super funny for some reason.
Yeah. It's definitely a pinnacle mm-hmm. video.
We're ready and going and recording.
We're talking and we're you're talking listening.
And conversing and chatting. So welcome everybody to the Trade Waiters podcast. This is the comic book club show where we read a different trade paperback every single week.
That's correct.
My name is Nathan.
I'm Daniel.
And we read books and talk about them, don't we?
We're brothers, comic books we in
talk,
particular.
We talk all sorts of comic stuff, don't we? How's your week been?
Solid.
That's good. That's what we like to
see. We had a planned outing. Like Wi-Fi outage, and I didn't tell my boss about it. I'm like, oh no, I have Wi-Fi issues. Shit,
my Wi-Fi.
Oh, I can't work for like 5 hours. So it was a good day today.
Oh, that was today.
Yeah.
Did you watch any shows and stuff while I was down? What'd you do?
I watched WandaVision because I hadn't gotten to that.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And then I was just chugging away at some comics.
Nice. That's a good excuse, actually. Just a Wi-Fi outage.
Yeah. I'm like, what am I gonna do?
I've had to use like. Oh, sorry, some repair people at my apartment, and that's why I missed your call. But really, I was just, like, chilling on the couch, you know?
Right. I look at calls and see them pass.
And I'm like, oh, I guess someone's fixing some stuff in my house right now. Sorry, you called.
Right.
But, yeah, I've had a pretty good week as well.
I was just about to ask.
My friends just... Yeah, I know. I know you were. My friends made me download this app, and it's a pretty wonderful app. It's called the Poop Map.
Oh, dude, I've seen that shit. That's like the most downloaded app on like most app stores.
Oh, damn.
For entertainment. Like there's that and then like TikTok.
It is so funny.
Dude, it's so dumb. You rate like each other's poops and stuff?
Yeah, my roommate and then my two other friends and then one other friend of ours. And we record our poops and we give them 1 to 5 stars depending on how successful it was.
Okay.
We give a little description. You could put a picture if you want. We decide not to do that.
I was about to ask.
And there's like, you can pull up like a Google Maps like map
of
all
poops.
The different pings of people pooping. And you can see how diverse of poopers we are.
Did you ping like my old apartment?
No, I hadn't downloaded it yet. It's like, once you download it, then it starts tracking. It's very fun.
So you can't go back and log other poops?
No.
Okay.
No.
So so since having this app, you pooped in 4 places?
No, I've only pooped in the 1 place. I went over to Sophia's place and I tried to poop, but I couldn't, so I couldn't record it. But I want some diversity. If I have to take a shit at the gym, you know, people will know.
I want the most vast geography.
And you can
poop
make
locations.
Your own. You can make your own stupid like usernames, and everybody's username on that app is so funny. Like even people I don't know, because you can just see like the entire poop map of everybody that's downloaded it.
Oh my god!
But mine's Nasty Nathan. Ben, my roommate, is Butthole Ben.
Classic.
Parker Pooper is my last roommate. We're trying to come up with one for Emily, his fiance, and she came up with Empty Emily.
Oh my god!
So that's a. That's been my obsession this week.
I can't endorse this.
I want to diversify my poop portfolio. my poop folio. And I want to poop in different places now. Normally, you know, I've been in my shell, just pooping my own place.
Dude, you should,
maybe I should go to other places.
In your, like, reviews of those poops, just, like, also review, like, the toilet and that, like, whole experience.
Oh, that'd be good.
Like, the bathroom as well. I'd be like, oh, these seats were heated.
Yeah, this like sink reviews on TikTok.
This one, yeah, exactly. This one had, like, heated seats or a what's it called?
Bidet.
But,
yeah. Anyway, when we're not talking about what we've done, the dumb things we've done through the week, we talk about the comic book news.
Indeed.
Been a kind of an interesting one this week. I don't know what you have, but let's start with you, actually.
Biggest one was that 3 actors from the Spider-Man series of movies all posted different titles for the upcoming movie. We had
Home Slice,
Homewrecker, and Phone Home.
And Home Alone. Just kidding.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
No.
And then it ended up being like a fake out, obviously.
Yeah.
And then it was announced today that's called No Way Home. Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah.
So it sticks to the theme of
home?
Home subtitles to the...
Did you think it was going to be one of those three?
I was really hoping for Home Slice.
I was kind of hoping for like Home Wrecker or something.
Phone Home seems like the more ideal one, or like what they would actually go with. Because
it's been in space or whatever, but...
Yeah, and then... Home Slice, I'm like, that'd be so sick, though.
So No Way Home probably just means that he's in a different universe and he's having a hard time getting home to his...
Probably. That's probably what it would be. He could also be in space or something.
I can't imagine he would just be in space in his own solo movie, because I feel like he doesn't just go to space
that's true.
Very often.
And so. The multiverse is like is more comparable?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Well, because like Spider-Verse stuff is probably going to happen.
Or like maybe like the Spider-Verse people, like Andrew Garfield and your Tobey Maguire's, they go into the 616 universe.
I'm just kidding.
And then they have No Way Home.
That's true. Yeah.
So that's
it doesn't have to be related to the Spider-Man that we know and love. It could be other Spider-Man that we know and love.
Exactly.
Did you see the theories that each of the three alternate titles were like the three different Spider-Men? So like Homewrecker or Home Slice was Tobey Maguire because pizza time.
I saw that.
And then Homewrecker is Andrew Garfield because he fucked up Gwen Stacy's family. And then Phone Home because Spider-Man's been in space.
Sure. I think that was just kind of parallels that people like made.
I don't think so, man.
About like which one's the actual one.
I don't know.
I don't think these names will come up ever again.
No, they won't. It's just a fun idea. I mean, they know that people know that it's probably just going to be some form of a Spider-Verse type film.
Mm-hmm.
Comes out on Christmas, they also announced.
Motherfucker. I wrote something down, and then, like, my stupid, like, OneNote, since it, like, ran out of room, like, deleted my thing.
Did you, well, going into comic book news, did you hear that Todd McFarlane is launching New Spawn Comics? Plural?
No.
2021, Daniel, is going to be the year of Spawn, and by the time it's over, the character will have a much bigger footprint in the comics market and a bigger universe surrounding him. This is from comicbook.com. Apparently, Todd McFarlane made an announcement that there's going to be like a universe of Spawn books, and he's going to have like a bunch of different creative teams on them essentially. And they have some pretty exciting names on here.
Let's hear it.
So
just the ones that excited you, Nathan.
Art Adams.
Okay.
Brett Booth, Greg Capullo, Donnie Cates, uh-huh. Jim Chung, Mike Del Mundo, David Finch, Jonathan Glapion.
Wow.
We have Sean Gordon Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
We have Mark Silvestri. Frank Quietly.
Oh.
And a lot of other names as well. So pretty good like announcement, I would say, with all these different like creators that are going to be part of these books.
You know, I watched like a bit of the Spawn like animated series, and like I get it.
Yeah.
I just don't. And it's been going on for like 300 issues, like Spawn. I'm like, what other stories are there to tell, I guess?
It's a good question. I don't know.
I'm very naive to the character as far as like a lot of his story arcs.
Me too.
Maybe these people can come up with something.
Have you seen the Spawn like TV show?
The animated TV show?
I guess that's what it was. Yeah. And like Todd McFarlane's like...
He like narrates it, yeah, or he starts it.
He's like in the beginning of it and he's like, what if God was not a good guy or whatever?
Yeah.
And then it goes into Spawn.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's my favorite part. Just the fact that like Todd McFarlane's like, look at me, I'm an edgy man. He was like he's
trying to be like
real Jared Leto vibes, like, but now.
I thought he was trying to be kind of like the Twilight Zone dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so,
but a comics version of
being
that,
real creepy.
A
yeah.
Hardcore 90s version. So in June, the year of Spawn will begin with Spawn's Universe number one.
It's more like half a year. It's like a semester of Spawn.
Well, yeah, true. That's what I would say too. The first of which released in August with a book called King Spawn number one. And then there's a couple different releases and stuff. Also a Gunslinger Spawn. So it seems like there's going to be like a Spawniverse.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes. I'll probably pick up the ones that have a creative team behind it that I'm interested in.
Sure. And then I'll hear what you have to say about it.
Like, I think Mike Del Mundo would be pretty cool on a Spawn book. Or Frank Quietly would be good on a Spawn book.
It'd be cool to see his art. I bet he just does a cover.
David Finch seems like he's done Spawn before, probably.
Oh, yeah. He would be so good at that.
Yeah.
And then Dave Capullo, like, used to ink for Spawn. Or no, he used to do pencils.
Greg Capullo? You said Dave. Draw it, and he used to ink it, I'm pretty sure.
No, because that might be true, but I remember
I think he started off inking.
Because McFarlane always wanted to kind of be a part of it, so he just did the inks to all of Greg's like pencils.
Oh, okay.
Rather than doing like all of the art.
So he's been a part of every single one?
No.
Okay.
No, like a lot of the later ones, like, doesn't even touch it. Yeah. Probably like helps with the story or something like that. And his name's always on
co-writer.
It. Or like creator kind of thing.
Producer.
But last couple I've looked at, it was like names I didn't even know.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, that's cool that he kind of lets it become its own thing. And now he's kind of doing a push for it again.
Mm-hmm.
I think in conjunction with this announcement, he announced another like Spawn figure on Kickstarter for his like toy company or whatever. But
anyway. Dude, he never stops making those.
Dude, that's probably where the money is, dude.
They're really sick. But like, I personally don't like Spawn like that much to get like a toy for him. Just
the design's pretty cool.
Maybe there's like a market for that and like some real loyal fan bases for that. But he just comes out with tons of statues.
So many.
Specifically for Spawn.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Good stuff.
It looks like the Bad Batch animated series for Star Wars will be coming to Disney Plus on May the 4th.
This year?
Yes, sir.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I've been excited for that one.
Yeah, dude. They already released like a ton of figures and stuff like that. I think they have Pops and then also like the...
Probably.
Black Series stuff. So it's coming out. It's coming
out. That's cool. That's pretty soon.
So May
4th. That's approximately a little over 2 months from now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Very cool. Have you heard about the... Hold on. Let me pull it up, actually. So, are you familiar with Felix Comic Art?
Mm-hmm.
It's the original art collecting shop. There's also, like, sequence art and stuff.
Yeah, tons of people, like, post their, like inks on, or, like, pencils on there, and then also, like, prints and stuff.
I think it's, like, just as basic as it gets, it's just an original arts selling mediator.
Yeah.
Well, they are now experimenting with NFT. Have you heard of those?
No.
Essentially, it's like cryptocurrency, but with art. They call it crypto art. And so Felix Comic Art will soon be entering the world of digital art and NFTs. And those of you, this is their statement, but just as I believe Felix Comic Art represents the strongest group of comic art talent ever assembled in the original comic art, so do I believe we will hold that same position in the crypto art space. To those who have little interest in NFTs, I would say this. Have no fear, and if you bought original art from us in the past, I predict you will be even more glad that you did than you are already. Essentially, it's a new thing that's happening. I guess Logan Paul just sold like crypto art for a cryptocurrency called Ethereum and made like a bunch of money on it. And there's been like the first ever like crypto art sale, and it's an original Spider-Man drawing by Adam Kubert, which sold for 12.75 Ethereum, which is approximately $25,000.
Okay, so Ethereum is like the currency, and then...
Ethereum is what they sold it for, yeah.
Okay, so it could be any currency.
Correct.
And so, do you ever get this artwork?
So, yeah, you get like a file of it that has like blockchain and stuff kind of added to it, but that is like the original art, and that's like the only one. So there's not like a copy of it somewhere on somebody else's like computer. Uh-huh. It's like it gets... Essentially, fundamentally, if you can... take a step back from what you know about computers, it's taking that art, putting it in a box, locking it, and then giving it to somebody else, and now that's their art.
So it's okay, art, yeah, so it's digital artwork.
Correct. So, but it's all digital, yeah.
And so the Spider-Man drawing, that was like a digital piece of artwork.
Mm-hmm. This is what it looks like.
Okay. Weird.
I wouldn't pay $25,000 for it, but yeah.
No.
It says Kubert's piece is one of 25 unique artworks expected to be launched as NFTs by several different things, and then I cut off the screenshot from there. But yeah, it's like a new thing, I guess. Mitch Gerrards is working with Sequence Art on this right now, and he says it's a wild new world that I only base level understand. And like, there's been a couple of different like digital artists that have kind of come in on that, because it seems like one of the biggest tragedies of like digital art, other than like it affecting the process, is it doesn't make money for comic artists, whereas people like Greg Capullo, who are like, or like Ryan Segman or whatever, who are doing things on like the page, they can sell that for like hella money.
Right. And
so I think this is a way for them to sort of compete with that as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool. I kind of embrace it, you know?
Yeah. Like, I embrace it and support it. It sounds just weird. Just because like, I get that. It does make things move faster when you're producing like week to week or month to month. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's kind of crazy. So I guess if you're just doing the pencils and nothing else, then that would work.
What do you mean?
So like
for Ethereum?
Yeah. So
or for NFTs?
So if you have an NFT, say you're Mitch Gerrards, but you're not doing the colors, he would just like send like those pencils or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would never actually see those, because if you send it colored, then that's something you could also see on the page.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's a crazy new world that we're kind of going into. So I'll be interested to see what that comes out to being. It's not something that I completely understand. And I think
it sounds like something that you could also like profit from, in the sense that you make like prints of it or something if you wanted to.
So,
cause what's the point?
You can, but what's the point of, I guess the argument is it's similar to normal art now. Like if you go to a museum and see the Mona Lisa and take a picture of the Mona Lisa, that's not the real thing.
Right.
But you got to kind of look at it from that lens where that's not the real thing. If you take it and figure out a way to print, I don't think you're able to, but if you figure out a way to just screenshot whatever's on there, it's a screenshot. It's not the real thing.
Sure.
I can understand where the gray area to that is, like people will probably get duped with screenshots of NFTs and be like, this is your NFT, give me my $25,000, I guess.
Yeah.
But you just gotta be smart about how you do it, I guess.
I think as long as you're getting it through Felix,
yeah,
then you should be okay.
Yeah, you should be fine. But if someone tries to like resell that original art, then that's where things can get kind of sticky. You gotta be really careful about it.
I think you'd almost go back to Felix for it.
And yeah.
Like kind of but resell it.
It's like the same thing with original art too. Someone could scan it and say, oh, this is like the pencils and it's in this case, don't touch it or whatever. It's in this frame, so don't touch it, but it's real. Let me tell
you. Yeah. I personally just like the physical art, so I can just hang it up on my wall and look at it. Like,
yeah, true.
All the time, rather than just like looking for a file.
That is a good point. I'm not sure what the display factor of NFTs are.
Maybe you have one of those like cool like gallery photo frames
that like old people have of like their family.
I have one of those.
Yeah, so you're old. But yeah, like scrolls through pictures and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Dude, imagine you just have all those on a fucking USB and then plugged into one of those.
Yeah.
And they're all like $25,000. You just like, have like $1 million on like this fucking USB.
This USB, it's worth $500,000.
Imagine explaining that to
Spider-Man.
Imagine explaining that to like insurance if that gets stolen. Like, you don't understand.
Yeah, that'd be super hard.
That USB is worth $1 million.
I mean, I'm sure it's hard to explain like normal original art. Like, I had a really good picture of Batman.
Right, yeah.
You know. But, so, yeah, crazy stuff. I just thought that was kind of interesting. And hopefully it's good for the digital artists that can't sell original pages, because that's not what they do.
Yeah, because I always think about that. Like, they get, like, the paper people will get paid per page the same as digital people.
Yeah.
And then we'll just have, like, a stack of pages from, like, a series.
Mm-hmm.
And those all go for a couple $100 at pop, basically. Yeah. So
some of them, like, thousands.
Right, yeah, sure. Yeah, depending on who it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. That's crazy to think about.
Yeah, it is. What a crazy new world. I think I had one more thing, actually. there's just, like, I guess DC holds, like, this thing for comic book shops where they talk about, like, variants that are coming later and, like, whatever. They like coordinate with comic shops as much as they can and get feedback from them.
Oh yeah, they have like these like
a retailer summit or something is what it's called, I think.
Yeah.
DC had one talking about variants that were coming this year. Some of the publishing projects in the works included Deathstroke Incorporated, Harley Quinn animated series sequel, Wonder Woman 80th anniversary. So I'm just gonna assume that that's similar to all the other like Batman and Superman ones, so it's not super crazy.
Yeah.
Elseworld, Robin and Batman, not Batman and Robin. Who knows what that'll be about? The Legend of Batman, Crush and Lobo, DC Middle Ages, Nubia, and the Amazon. So just a bunch of like, I think they like kind of revealed what these projects are going to be, but we only know them by name kind of deal.
Yeah.
It sounds like a couple of them are just, you know, status quo, but then there's things like Elseworld, which kind of interests me.
Oh, yeah. I love Elseworld shit.
Yeah. So if they do more of that, I think that'd be really cool.
Nice.
And people are speculating that there's one called Nubia in the Amazons and then Crush and Lobo. So they think that those are going to be like new characters, but also keep the legacy characters.
Isn't like that Lobo's daughter, Crush?
I don't know. I don't know much about Lobo.
Yeah. I remember that she was like a part of like Teen Titans or something like that, or some team.
That probably makes sense.
And I can kind of look it up.
Yeah. But also Harley Quinn animated series sequel. Like that's a show that's still coming out. So like, is it canceled?
Wait, what? There's, oh, the animated series?
Yeah, Harley Quinn animated series sequel. So that's kind of scary. I mean, the show's pretty good. I haven't seen it at all, but hopefully it's not canceled.
So that's Crush.
Yeah, okay, I've seen her.
Basically just like a teenage version of Lobo.
Yeah.
Teenage girl version of Lobo.
Yeah, okay.
She was in like Titans, I guess.
She seems like she would be in Titans.
Just a kid villain for the kid teams, you know?
Good stuff.
Gotta have those.
Well, that's all news that we had. So let's go into the book that we read this week, which was Naomi by Brian Michael Bendis and David F. Walker, the ones that were co-writing it. And Jamal Campbell was on the art, and I don't know who else. Give me 1 second.
Josh Reed and Carlos M. Mangul on letters. So Jamal Campbell also did the colors.
It seems. Damn, that's crazy, because there's a lot that goes on in this book.
Yeah, dude, this seemed like... The art was insane in this. I love this.
Yeah.
It looks like really good, mm-hmm. especially for a new character. Super strong.
Yeah, he's one of the artists that are like pretty clearly digital, but I think they do it in like a really effective and like strong way.
Yeah, it doesn't look like cheesy or anything.
Yeah, he makes it look like really fun, and there's like a lot of vibrant energy, especially with those colors.
Yeah, definitely. So it's like super kick-ass. I didn't realize it was the same person.
Doing the colors and stuff?
Yeah, the colors and pencils.
Yeah, yeah. This is Naomi season 1, which I didn't realize until it said Naomi season 2 coming soon at the very end.
Yeah, so I guess this was kind of a kickoff for her, and then I don't really keep up with the event stuff, but I suppose like her story led into an event.
Yeah.
Did you read any of that?
Do you remember what the event was? I haven't read all like DC events.
So it had to be something Bendis was behind.
Probably. Hold on. It was probably like
maybe some Superman thing.
I think she was in the Superman book for a little bit, but
okay.
Now he's off of that book, so who knows? But apparently there's a Naomi 2 coming out, which seems cool. I kind of like the whole season aspect of things.
Yeah, it's just kind of...
I feel like it works for creators that want to tell a story but don't want to feel like they're...
Have to continue it?
Yeah, they have to... like consistently grind, like do the monthly grind. They can yeah. like take some time off, make sure they're getting the pages right, and uh-huh. then go again when they're ready.
I think that's the kind of leniency Bendis probably has with DC.
Yeah,
because like people do that with like indie stuff all the time.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure like a normal writer probably doesn't have that power, but with Bendis, or like Grant Morrison did it with Liam Sharp for Green Lantern.
Right,
they did season 1, which was 12 issues,
uh-huh.
and then they had 3 months off. I want to say which. In the intermission, I guess, if you want to call it that, they had
more like a hiatus.
Yeah, but in that hiatus, they had like a 3-issue series that Grant Morrison wrote, but it was a different artist that was just doing like a spinoff thing, like additional story.
Oh,
and then Liam Sharp came back for season 2, and I think he actually just finished like his final page of Green Lantern this week, so that's gonna be coming to an end pretty soon.
Gotcha,
crazy stuff. But anyway, yeah,
that's definitely cool. So. If that happened more often, like, I think books would just be much stronger.
Yeah, more well-rounded, for sure.
And a lot less filler kind of stuff.
But at the same time, I could see where... Because this came out in, like, the trade came out in, like, 2019. And I'm pretty sure there's no announcement of season 2. So right. I guess you can kind of feel like you fell off for a little bit.
Yeah.
Or if you don't know what's going on, if you don't understand the seasons thing or whatever. So it can be interesting.
Yeah, I don't think this is too hard to just kind of... pick up like a issue 7,
yeah,
and just kind of keep going after reading this.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, overall I thought this was really solid. Mm-hmm. It was paced like super well. I didn't think anything was too dialogue heavy except for like one issue.
Okay.
But overall I thought like the dialogue was like pretty like genuine, you know. It was
yeah,
not a ton of filler, like enough to where it seems like normal conversation, but mm-hmm. everything was pretty important.
I could see a bit of Bendis's work on powers kind of bleeding through this a little bit, because one of the big things he's I think Bendis is really good at is just natural feeling dialogue, because uh-huh. there's often times in this where people will like stutter, which
yeah.
people do in normal conversation,
right.
And so it's kind of interesting to like see how people try to explain like things that are normally kind of complicated to explain, which there's a lot in this book.
Sure.
And like just do a little bit stutter to kind of bring it to humanity a little bit.
Yeah.
I do agree. This is a very solid book. As far as superhero origins go, it's very different, and it
kind of really,
keeps taking you like different places, which I enjoy.
Yeah. I liked it a lot as an origin story.
Yeah.
It didn't seem
it just felt very
predictable
different.
Or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
I couldn't really guess like where it was going to go. So that was really cool. So as far as bringing like a new character to a publisher like DC, I thought he did it pretty well.
Yeah, I think she fits in the DC universe pretty well also. So let's jump right into it. Issue 1, it kind of just opens up with like the reactions of typical normal people talking about the biggest sort of thing that's happened in the small town that they're in, which is Superman coming and fighting off a supervillain for approximately 17 seconds before he takes it away from that city. It looks like it's Demon.
No.
Who is that?
I don't know, but it's not Demon.
I think it might be like Jamal's...
Isn't it Mongol or something?
Mongol, sorry. That's what it is. Yeah, it seems like Jamal's version of Mongol. But yeah, it only happened for about 17 seconds, but it sort of had a lasting effect on like Naomi and her friends, and Naomi didn't see it like up close because she was doing other things, but it does have a lasting effect on Naomi when kind of Superman comes back and helps clean up the mess. So, you know, she's a normal girl. This is a normal town. Then there's a Superman appearance where we don't normally see Superman, and it's, you know, that would have lasting effects. There's some cool things going on there. I think Jamal does some of the best representations of Superman from like afar.
Oh yeah, like this panel right here where he's like picking up that car.
Unbelievable.
I'm like, that looks incredible.
Yeah, and like there's the light shining like between him and like the car as he's picking it up, and he does like a little smirky smile.
I thought this was Jimenez.
It looks like a Jimenez like Superman. I was thinking that. Super. Especially with that first double page spread of him like fighting Mongol.
Yeah, just I don't know what it is about, like maybe the,
I think it's some of like the shading that gets it for me, and like some of the coloring looks pretty similar just because they both do digital art, but it seems like they do it in a very similar way.
Like the sun like really pops as far as looking bright, which is like really cool.
They both do like more or less perfect representations of Superman, I would say.
Yeah. So like
you can't get any better than this, mm-hmm. I would say. But Superman's not really part of the story. It's just kind of the linchpin that sort of kicks it off. And we do see, you know, Naomi talking to her friends, like, that's crazy. Oh, my God. What happened? Her friends, we meet, like, a lot of her friends, but we only focus on one of her friends, ultimately, in this story.
Yeah, she's got, like, a best friend.
Yeah, Annabelle is her name. But we don't ever see this other, like, goth chick.
Yeah, I'm just noticing that.
Yeah. I like Naomi's design. I like her hair. I think she's got some of the coolest, like, dreads or whatever you want to call that.
Yeah, I like the little, I don't know what, little rings or whatever
little
that
rings
are in her
on
hair.
The dreads.
Pretty cool.
Are there any other characters with dreads in like comics in general?
Static Shock.
That's true. Yeah, he does.
They're like short.
Bishop. Does he have that as well? The X-Men?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that sounds
at least
right.
In the movie, I don't know if he's represented like that in the books.
I think he does in the books, but I can't think of like many other outside of that.
Dreadlocks. Yeah, no.
It looks really cool. I mean, I feel like this is a great style that fits Naomi's character very well. So.
Yeah, she'll definitely like stand out like in like a poster of like a bunch of heroes,
like a lineup. Yeah. And I think her costume later on is a very unique design as well, but we'll get to it. A weird thing is that there doesn't really seem to be any news about the Superman appearance coming to this town where nothing ever happens. And so that's kind of strange. And so Naomi like talks to her friend Annabelle about how things have sort of felt off kind of since that happened. And then she hears that there was some other superhero sighting like a really long time ago, like years ago. And so she kind of goes around asking people if they remember that, but no one seems to remember that or know what that is.
Right.
And it's kind of like bothering her a little bit. We do find out in like a therapy session that she is adopted as well. And so the therapist thinks that there's like some sort of Superman complex happening because he's also adopted.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, I would say. No, he's
like
pretty
absolutely
adopted. Yeah, like technically like, as definitely. In like absolutely in every single way adopted. Yeah. So yeah, it's just kind of interesting. And in this journey of trying to figure out what this other superhero event is, she locks eyes with this dude named D, who's this local mechanic, and she kind of goes to talk to him. They've never talked before, but she asks if she knows, or if D knows this other superhero thing that happened. And he says that he does, but he wasn't there, so he can't really say what happened for sure. And he tries to like avoid the conversation, but he does finally drop that it happened on March 14th, 17 years ago, which is exactly the day that Naomi got adopted. And then D says that he knows it's her adoption date too. So he's like involved in some weird way. This person that she's never talked to knows what her adoption date is. That's super weird.
Dude, I strive to look like D.
Dude, D looks fucking awesome.
He's gigantic.
He's like Kingpin if Kingpin lost the weight, because Kingpin's probably this buff.
Normally. Yeah, like a shredded Kingpin, but still like huge.
Kingpin with a
tattoo everywhere.
If Kingpin was a mechanic, yeah, because he's so got like the tattoos everywhere, which
so
is
so scary.
It's interesting because you don't see a lot of characters with tattoos on them because yeah, they're super annoying to replicate.
Super redundant and like tedious, I bet.
Yeah. I think actually D does lose those tattoos that are on his cheeks. I don't think I see them later on in the book. I'll have to look as we're scrolling, but yeah I love like this character's design is like awesome. He's got some long ass eyebrows that go to like his ears, essentially.
They're definitely wide.
But yeah, you know he's gonna be a critical character just because of how much design was put into him. So
yeah, definitely key player.
Yeah, big arms,
huge arms,
big ol' arms. So yeah, pretty weird. He knows the adoption date. That's the end of issue one, and issue two kind of picks up right where we left off. So Naomi obviously tries to get him to talk about it more, but Dee is very quiet and like throws her out of the shop, and then he like runs away.
I love how this is supposed to be like, I guess, relatively normal book and like in a normal town.
Yeah,
but like the proportions of his hands, he can just grip her head like it's like a soda bottle or something,
like it's a baseball or some shit.
Yeah, and then just like a basketball, and then just drops her outside.
Yeah,
so I love that. Like his hands don't like. Aren't like the same size as her hands. He's just naturally huge. He's so I'm like, hell yeah, this is a comic.
Big right beefy man, yeah. And this big beefy man does not want to answer any of this little girl's question. So that's very suspicious.
Yeah, and shuts his garage door on her.
Yeah, we don't. That's very weird. And so Naomi then goes to dinner with her parents and mentions like this, like asking if Dee is maybe like her real father, maybe.
Uh huh.
Just because why would this guy know this adoption date or whatever? But the parents kind of. They blow it off and say that they've never talked to Dee at all and they don't know who her real parents are.
Right.
So we kind of figured that out. It was a closed adoption, I guess, which probably means that you don't know who the parents are, is what they say. But I really like this dinner scene because it's a double page spread. There's a lot of double page spreads in this book.
Right.
But in this dinner scene, you can tell that like the mom and like the dad are talking, but the dialogue kind of goes behind Naomi, and that's sort of demonstrates that like what's being said is kind of second to her deep thought, because she's like really thinking about what she just witnessed with Dee. And I just think that the lettering like works to that really well.
Yeah, that seems like that could be kind of hard to approach.
Like she's desperately trying to figure out what happened, and then progressively as like the page goes, like the panels get smaller. So that's, I don't really know what that's like demonstrating, but it's
I think cool it's design. Like the space in between you know the characters is getting bigger. So it's like her,
she's not like there at dinner.
Yeah, like how like. Much she's listening, and like the dialogue like decreases as that happens.
It gets like cut off as well.
Yeah, so it's like her, how much she's actually listening to.
I like that. Yeah, like maybe at first she was like listening to what they're saying, but then as like the panels get smaller and like the placement of the mom and dad get blocked by a blank space, she's not listening as much each time.
Right.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's cool use.
Yeah. Naomi's kind of obsessing over the Superman thing and is also like having visions as well, like as she's sleeping, so she's not sleeping a whole lot. In the middle of the night, she sneaks out and skates over to Dee's shop, and while looking around in there, she finds a picture of a younger Dee with hair and shit, and there's a girl that looks very similar to Naomi. And then Dee shows up kind of behind her, and Naomi's like really assertive and asking who the girl is and what's kind of happening. And that's the big reveal of that, of this issue. I do like, just we've said how big he is, but in this splash page where he's like towering over her,
oh so scary,
it's he's like, it's such like a big man.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I love the scale of it too. Like she's, I don't know how old she is, she seems like she's like a teenager, but probably like
17.
Yeah, yeah.
She'd he's like a bear in comparison.
He looks like he's
maybe something
tall.
Bigger. Yeah,
yeah. It's awesome.
If she's like an average like 5 feet, he definitely doubles that.
Yeah, and the
weighing out 500 pounds.
I really like Jamal Campbell's like shading. I forgot to mention a little bit earlier, but he does like the dots that are like normal in comics. What are those called?
Oh, I don't know. Just but like old school kind of dots.
The old school kind of dots he uses in
I did
shading.
Notice that in like the last issue.
Yeah, it was in the last issue. I forgot to bring it up, but he has like a really strong coloring, because it can be hard. She's looking around his shop with like a flashlight, and I think the colors like really reflect that.
Yeah,
and she's like shining it on like different cars and stuff. Like the outline of it is colored, but the rest of it is like black. And I think that works really well.
And then like the flashlight things are colored a different way than like just the moonlight things are colored all on the same page.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The things that are getting flashed, I guess. Right.
Yeah. So this little girl is flashing things.
Yeah. She's in the shop flashing everything she sees.
This underage girl. Yep.
Yeah. I'm kind of bummed that we don't really figure out who that woman is.
Yeah, you do.
I guess we do, but like, no, we don't, I don't think.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, we'll catch me when we see her, I guess.
Or I think we do. I could be wrong, but I think we do.
Also, a thing I noticed is that the cliffhangers are very untraditional. It's just like a normal page, and it's like, next, the secret of the DC universe or whatever.
Yeah, I think that it cuts off at a point where you really want to know what's on the next page.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it doesn't feel like an absolute stop, which would be good for trade. Or which is good for trade.
Yeah, and at first, like on the first issue, I was like, oh, it just kind of ended. That feels like it was kind of squeezed in, you know? But then in this one, right before the end of the issue is a splash page. So you know that Bendis isn't like squeezing everything he can into pages.
Sure.
It's just interesting how he does it, because normally like the big cliffhanger is a big splash page or like very sometimes. Few. Yeah. It just feels a little bit different, but I like it.
Yeah, it seems to flow well to where like the ends like kind of come up like pretty fast.
Yeah. Especially reading this digitally, I don't really know when like each issue is ending. If you're reading it physically, you can kind of tell like I'm kind of getting towards the end, but
yeah, like something's about to happen.
Yeah. Some shit's got to happen soon. Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. So issue 3.
We're still in the garage.
Yep. Still in the garage. Naomi thinks that the girl in the picture is her biological mother and asks Dee if he is the like her biological father. And she suspects this obviously because he knows her adoption date. But Dee tells her that he truthfully is not her father and says that it's very tough to explain who he is. But then he explains who he is. He reveals that he's basically a special ops Thanagarian soldier from a different part of the multiverse. If you could believe that.
Oh, yeah. That.
This book goes from like, this is like pretty normal stuff, I guess.
This goes from like small town vibes. Yeah, so you like know, Hawkman, fucking,
I'm like one of those, but special ops in a different universe.
Right. I definitely had to Google Thanagarian. I'm like, what the fuck was that again?
You don't know what Thanagar is?
Not off the top of my head, no. Because I haven't watched like Arrow in like years.
Why would you watch? Oh, because, yeah. Okay.
Because Hawkgirl shows up.
Cause,
and Hawkman.
And Hawkman, yeah. Yeah. He doesn't have any wings, though.
Yeah, he does.
He does? D?
Not in his garage, but he does here.
Oh, yeah.
Like when he's fighting wars.
Yeah, that's true. He does. He looks significantly better bald. Is that just me?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because when there's flashbacks of this crazy double-page spread of the Thanagarian War that's done really well, he has hair, and it throws me off a little bit.
You know, some people just look better bald, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you just some...
Imagine
some
Kingpin with hair. Like, you can't. It's just, it's uncomfortable.
No, like some people's faces just like are fine by themselves. They don't need anything more.
Yeah.
Me, my face is awful. Need some hair to add some.
Exactly. I have hair on my face.
I've asked Sarah, would you love me if I buzz my head? She's like, no. And so I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
I need this.
Yeah. I asked Sophia if I should shave my face. She's like, no, don't do it. I won't like it. And I said, that's fair enough.
She's seen it without your beard, right?
Yeah. That's how I know she like actually loves me is because when I first met her, I didn't have a beard. But you didn't meet Sarah if you don't when you're
love
bald,
me,
were you?
If you don't love me with a pale face, you don't get to love me with a beard.
Yeah, exactly. You don't get to love me when I look dirty. So yeah, Dee is a Thanagarian soldier from a different part of the multiverse. And I guess he would fight along this girl on the team named Kiella.
Yeah, that's her.
That's the girl in the photo, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So we do know who it is. I guess she's also a warrior or whatever.
Yeah, but she's also part of this team. And so they were doing like Thanagarian stuff. They don't really agree with the politics of it or whatever. So they try to run away from that life and they try to go through this passageway portal thing.
Uh-huh.
But while they're trying to go through that, Kiella gets shot and then Dee ends up getting stuck on Earth.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty shitty.
Super shitty.
He like falls through like really far up in the air, and I just like really love that page because
yeah, it's like a whirlwind of clouds.
Yeah, it looks sick for just like it's like a silent couple pages as well, and that's all like you really need to know because it's like the emotion of D kind of sells everything there.
Yeah,
and then I guess he decides to buzz his head. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
Or no, I think he was a mechanic for a little bit before he buzzed it. Who knows why he buzzed it? But
don't like Thanagarians have like really tough skin or something like that?
Yeah. Not really tough hair.
How'd he get tattooed?
Really big needle.
Really big needle. He touched it himself.
He could, yeah. If he found, like, maybe it wouldn't be like a needle. It'd be more like a big old syringe.
Like a crowbar or something?
Yeah, that he would need to, to like, do the needle tattooing.
That was just kind of a pothole that I figured out right now. Like, wait a second.
I mean, I don't know if it's canon they have tough skin. Seems like they probably do, but...
I just kind of assume that most superheroes are, like, pretty invulnerable.
Yeah.
Not, like, completely, but pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's stuck on Earth, and that's who this guy is. But it still doesn't really explain who he is to Naomi. But just after that explanation, Naomi's mom comes in, and, like, she's yelling at Dee, saying that they had a deal, and she, like, slaps the shit out of him before taking Naomi to the car. Like, absolutely bitch slaps this dude.
I know, dude. This giant backhand man. And all. And he, like, his head turns, like, it affects him.
That was it. That was a powerful fucking pimp slap. And
this, like, just, like, all this whole action shot is, like, makes it so intense.
I love just Jamal's facial expressions. He nails it every single time, I feel like. Even yeah. just, like, the surprise of your mom, who seems pretty tame at this point, yeah. slapping this big-ass Thanagarian man. He kind of, like, captures Naomi's reaction pretty well.
Yeah, the faces are just drawn to where it seems like he could do, like, any facial expression.
Yeah.
Which is super important.
He does angry really well. He does worried and confused really well. He sells a lot of this book for me.
He does,
for sure.
Like, getting bitch slapped really well.
Yeah, getting bitch slapped. He knows what that looks like, apparently. So, clearly they do know each other, because her mom was saying, like, we had a deal. Why'd you break that kind of deal? So Naomi's in the car. She's super confused and upset, but the parents take her to this random place in the woods, and her dad brings her to a cave that's in there. And while they're walking, he's saying shit like, I knew this day would come, or whatever, like, all that normal stuff, but... In the cave, he pulls out this device, which lights up a spaceship, and the dad has his space armor on, saying that this is the ship that he came to Earth on. Mm-hmm. So there's another alien dude in Naomi's life now in the span of a couple minutes, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe like an hour. So
I like the one where you see the spaceship, and then she's like, is this the spaceship you found me in?
I know. Like, she thinks she's Superman.
Yeah, and he's like, no.
I love how he has his, like... It's Ran armor. I love how he puts it on, but he still has, like, a dad bod.
Oh, yeah, dude. So fucking funny.
It reminds me of when, like, Mr. Incredible puts on his, like, blue suit again for the first time.
Yeah.
In, like, the first movie. That's so funny. So, yeah, that's where issue 3 ends off. And issue 4 kind of picks up. But Naomi's in shock, understandably. She's had a weird couple hours. But the dad reveals that he was also a soldier for the planet Ran, which is where, like... Adam Strange is from, but it's like a different, like, race of people, but or species, I should say. He was a part of the Ran and Thanagarian War, which is like an actual comics event that's happened. And so I think Bendis has really, like, done really well with weaving all this together. But her dad, Greg, was Ran and part of the Ran Thanagarian War, and he was also, like, a special soldier. He fought alongside, like, Green Lanterns and shit and blah blah blah. But he was assigned to come to Earth to investigate a rogue Thanagarian assassin, which ends up being Dee. But on that mission, he was here and he sees... What's the mom's name?
I don't know.
I don't know if I know. Mom. But yeah, so he sees the mom and falls in love with her. And that's kind of like how they meet, I guess.
Do you notice this, like, armpit panel?
Yeah. So
it's like, there's a main panel with, like, her mom the first time the dad sees her, and then there's just, like,
armpit,
some panels that weren't used, so they just were blank.
So if you do the assisted view,
yeah, you see an armpit. Like, what is that?
I know. I ran into the same thing. This whole issue is told in double page spreads, which I find just, like, a little bit annoying.
Oh yeah, I don't prefer it.
Yeah, but this book clearly wasn't meant to be read digitally, I don't think.
This page right here, it obviously still would read like a normal page. There's just that middle picture that, like, connects
Correct.
It all.
Yeah.
But you would read, like, the left side then the right side.
Yeah. I think this would be cool, like, in print if you had, like, this issue and you're like, this is all double page spreads, isn't it? But I feel like sometimes that can be a little bit weird. Mm-hmm. I also just noticed that in this digital one, it has the same page twice.
Yeah. Do you have that?
Yeah.
I don't remember that when I was reading it.
I don't remember that either. I think I just thought I was dumb, and I was like, oh, this is the same page, isn't it?
Huh.
Okay. I like that Naomi's adoptive mother back then looked like she was an artist, because she was an artist that had, like, just sold her first painting, and that's when Naomi's dad first saw her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like super happy because she just sold her first painting, but she looks like an artist. She's got like her hair dyed and like super heavy black makeup and stuff.
Yeah. Doesn't have a real job.
It's pretty funny. I also like that in the dad's like explanation of everything that's happening, there's like a subtle diss on Earth. He says that the offer of a simple fact-finding mission on a simple planet without even a shred of orbital mechanics, it sounded fantastic. So he kind of like this is Earth, like for not having orbital mechanics.
Yeah, he really wanted to be off the grid.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
This is like Earth was like a third world country to him.
Yeah, basically. Naomi's mom like changes her hair color like a bunch in the course of her like being an artist.
Mm.
At one point she had like super pink hair, but now it's just funny to see that she's like a pretty like basic suburban mom at this point with like red hair and stuff.
Yeah.
So the mom was, you know, pretty cool with him being an alien soldier. And the dad also had a truce with D to just not mention anything about being from space and everything. But everything was going good until the both of them got an alarm on their space alarm thing. I don't even know what to call it.
It's like a
pager, I guess.
Yeah, like that. It's just like there's activity happening, space activity.
Yeah, there's space things happening. Better go check it out. But D and Greg, who's the dad, both got it at the same time. So it takes them to this field. There's like a weird scene where a girl carrying a baby, supposedly Naomi's mom. I'm pretty sure that's what it is, actually.
And then a bunch of other people.
Yeah, they're being chased by some other elite-looking group that I don't think was Thanagarian or Ran.
Correct.
So D and the dad were like fighting off these soldiers, and the girl carrying the baby got shot, and I think she like dissolved, but she left Naomi. And so that's how that was her adoption day, was being, I don't know, having her mom portaled to this Earth and then getting killed.
Yeah.
Is what it seems like. We don't actually know if that was her mom. It's pretty heavily implied.
It's probably safe to assume.
I would probably say it's safe to assume not. Just because it's not explicitly said. Like, the dad says, like, I don't know if that was your mom.
Okay.
So it seems like, actually, no, I don't know.
So that was basically the end of the issue.
Yeah.
I think this is like a killer origin.
Yeah, it's great.
Like, there was nothing that, like, that it seemed new. Like, it was like a new thing. And yeah. Your adoptive parents are just also aliens on this planet and know what you're going through and shit like that. And then they just happen to be at the right place at the right time where babies are flying out of the sky.
Yeah, I think like every character has like a definite purpose. And I like Bendis's ability to take normal Bendis and Walker, I guess, but to take like normal comics like events and then looking at like the details. Because like when you think about the Ran and Thanagarian War, I haven't read whatever book that's a part of, but there's a bunch of soldiers and they all have their own separate lives. So to think that there's one scenario where like this could happen is like cool to think about, you know?
Yeah.
So, and like D is like Thanagarian and dad's Ran, and they have an interesting relationship because they're supposed to hate each other, but they kind of have this common ground of like, we're going to stay here on Earth,
whether like, they yeah, like, want cool to here. Or not. Yeah, it's cool here or whatever.
Yeah. D doesn't seem like he's super jazzed about it, but the dad obviously does because he found a love interest.
Yeah, he's just real grumpy.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
And like, for this issue, since it was all double page spreads, I think that can be a little bit overwhelming with like all the details that can be in this, especially with like a big fight scene.
Yeah.
But I think Jamal handles it really well.
Definitely.
Good stuff.
And then she happened to be swaddled with this like little black brick thing. And then when she touches it, like it glows up.
Oh, yeah. That's how the issue ends. She like looks at the box thing, touches it. And when she touches it, a symbol pops up.
It kind of looks like the Death Lantern.
Yeah, I was about to say, it looks like a white lantern, I think, actually. Okay.
Just because it's black, I think. Like,
let me actually look up the symbol. I get the white and black one confused.
Just look up color spectrum.
Yeah, so that's what that one is, I think.
Yeah, that's probably the closest. That one's not far off either, honestly. Well,
black goes like straight and the...
Yeah, like the stripes.
Yeah, so it looks kind of like a white lantern symbol. And then like when I read this, I was like, in the Brightest Day storyline where everybody was a white lantern, did any Thanagarians get it? Or like, was the Ran Thanagarian War part of that or whatever? I was kind of overthinking it a little bit.
Sounds like it.
It seems like it's just a new symbol that happens to look like it's from Jeff Johns's magnificent run of Green Lantern.
Right.
So, yeah. So, issue 5. So, this issue kind of shows Naomi meeting with her friend Annabelle again. Like, just a little after she finds all this out.
Mm-hmm.
And Naomi tells Annabelle, like, basically everything she knows. And Annabelle takes it extremely well, actually.
Yeah, she's like, no shit.
She's like, you're an alien. Your dad's an alien. And Dee's an alien. And you know all this. And you have powers? Okay. That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So everybody should strive to have an Annabelle as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, Naomi shows off her power. She also explains when she touched the little box thing, she heard, like, a pre-recorded message from her mom.
Going, I thought it was her dad.
I'm pretty sure it's her mom.
Huh.
Because we actually see her mom, like, a little bit at the end there. And I think at the beginning it says it's your mom.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think it's her mom. It's not explicitly said, though, so I'm not even sure. Yeah. But it seems to be one of her parents. There's, like, a pre-recorded message that plays only in her head, I guess. And it explains, like, a bunch of mythos, which is kind of hard to understand, but as this, I understand it.
It was like
a lot of exposition.
It was basically the entire, like, half the book was, like, explaining this info dump of, like, her origin and, like, her people and, like, kind of what happened and the bad guys and what we did.
Yeah.
And, like, all these random, like, this specific number of people got these powers and then, like, a specific number killed the others in it, and then there's only this many left.
So I think, as I understood it, on their Earth, their ozone layer got fucked up too, but the radiation that came through was, like, different. Then they had their version of, like, a crisis on Infinite Earths in their multiverse, I think. But there was 29 people that got godlike powers, which then dwindled in numbers to 8 after a big old war. And then she also said that the worst one of that bunch was a guy named Zimbardo. And then it kind of goes into, like, how she...
A killer name, honestly.
Yeah. It sounds like a dance or something.
Yeah.
But it also goes into, like, the origin of how her parents met and how much they love each other or whatever. And now it's up to her to use her powers for good.
A Zimbardo sounds like a Polynesian drum or something.
Yeah. It sounds like something like...
I'm playing my Zimbardo.
Yeah. It sounds like a foreign instrument.
Yeah.
That they'd have in, like, Jamaica.
Right. Exactly.
But so, yeah, it explains all that. I do want to say I do like the design of Naomi's power.
It's
very unique because it's like, I guess the idea of it isn't like that crazy that there's like these light effects or I don't know, laser beams or stuff that's happening, but they're all like crescent moon looking things.
Yeah. She basically just like goes Super Saiyan kind of, and then like she can blast people with like this light energy stuff.
Yeah. I just,
yeah. This issue was like my least favorite. It was cool to, like, you know, figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
But there was, like, a bunch of double-page spreads of, like, just fight scenes and whatnot. And then...
Excuse this, for dialogue, like, a bunch of exposition, it seems like.
Yeah, and then tons of, like, narration, which was just... It just kind of got, like, a little dense.
Like, I feel like it is, like overly complicated as well.
A little.
But maybe it could be justified, like, if later on down the road, like, those 8 people that are now survivors or whatever happen to be part of the story.
It kind of reminded me of, like, an X-Men or Inhumans event.
Yeah.
That just, like, some excuse to have a bunch of, like, characters for no reason.
Or if those people were part of the people that killed her mom in the scene just before this.
Yeah.
Like, the ones that were, like, that portal to Earth, you know, and killed whoever was holding Naomi as baby.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's them.
Perhaps.
That might be kind of cool. But, I don't know. It seems like it is, like, a very complicated sort of origin.
Yeah, I just wish they would have, you know, shown us rather than told us. Like, if this could have been hashed out in, like, 3 issues or something, just kind of really had, like...
This is the kind of origin you kind of want to be spoon-fed, I think.
Yeah, because when it's something completely new, it can be kind of tough to swallow.
So, yeah, then the message goes into, like I said, just use your powers to make the world better and shit. But that also leads us into Naomi, like, flying away from her parents to go meet Annabelle, which then, like, brings us to now. And then, oh, no, guess what? We got some Zimbardo action because he shows up in a portal, and that's the end of that issue.
Yeah, I saw the end of this issue. I'm like, what? Like, the big bad guy that they're talking about
shows up now
with one issue left.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay.
Yeah, it seems like, I was like, we're just now getting introduced to the villain. Like, I was cool just kind of like
just origin story.
Yeah, just discovering.
And then maybe season 2 we see one or something.
And like, I guess you gotta have some fighting, I don't know, but like,
yeah,
it seems it makes sense why he's showing up now in like the context of the book, but I feel like as far as pacing this out over several issues, it seems like a weird time to put it out now.
Yeah, but I think with how the story goes in the next issue, it's kind of okay.
Yeah.
Like, it works. They didn't just, like, rush, like, a fight for the last issue.
Yeah, so Zimbardo is the big bad, and he portals to him. And yeah, that's how it ends. He's got a really cool design, too, I would say. I don't really know what's going on,
but he looks cool. I think it's, like, a very desperate attempt to make something different, but also scary.
Yeah.
Because this dude has, like, tentacles coming out of his face or something in replacement of a beard.
And, like, his beard goes into his mouth, I think?
No. He's just got, like, smoke. Like,
smoke
coming nonstop out? Coming out of his mouth Have when he's talking. That? I thought it was a beard, but it's coming out of his mouth. And it just, when he's talking, and it's just consistently coming out. It's so weird.
Have you seen that X-Men that kind of has that situation going on?
I don't think so.
He has, like, one of those masks that, like, wrap around your head and your neck that apparently don't work for the pandemic, but, like, it's the ones that, like...
Yeah, like the snowboard ones?
Yeah, there's an X-Men that, where if he, like, pulls that down, his mouth is just, like, fire.
Huh.
I think it's, like, Grant Morrison X-Men. I can't yeah, sure, but like, that's what it reminds me of.
This guy, like, his design as far as, like, armor and stuff is cool, and he's got a big old hood.
But where are these tentacles? What's the tentacle Davy Jones beard?
What are these tentacles? What is this, smoke?
It's kind of hard to see.
Yeah, so...
So, anyway, we do see a scene of Dee suiting up in his Thanagarian armor after getting a text from the dad, supposedly.
He kind of looks like...
Midnighter, right?
Midnighter.
He, like... I thought it was Midnighter. I'm like,
is he Midnighter? We just didn't know about it?
Dude, I, like, saw him get the text, and then I thought, like, the next panel was just Midnighter. I'm like, cool, Midnighter's coming in on this. But it was actually Dee.
That's super random.
Yeah.
When's the last time we saw Midnighter?
Yeah, I know.
It's just Apollo coming? Like, yeah, he just has this, like... biker helmet thing that like is also a cowl, and it looks just like Midnighter.
It's just a Batman without ears.
We should read that.
We absolutely should. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Midnighter and Apollo?
No, just Midnighter. There's well, Midnighter and Apollo came afterwards.
Oh, okay.
But like that run on Midnighter was like superly like high regarded.
Tim Seeley, I think, did that.
Yeah, I think so.
Cool. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. We'll have to write that down.
Put that on the list.
Yep, put it on the list.
Do it now before we forget.
So I'll remember.
Oh my god.
So anyway, they all find Annabelle, but there's no Naomi. And so Annabelle says Naomi went with Zimbardo through the portal, which takes them to where Naomi came from, which is now a super destroyed Earth from all the fights and stuff that Zimbardo did. But he also says that her parents are dead from like a long time ago, because she went with them to figure out what her normal Earth is like, I guess.
Yeah. Because she's like, that's where my parents are from or whatever, in the portal. And he's yeah. like, yeah.
And she's like, oh, shit, yeah, let's go.
She didn't connect the dots that this guy might be Zimbardo.
Or,
like, he doesn't look like a super bad guy.
She also didn't think twice to just, like, go to a whole other universe. How are you supposed to get back?
You know? Yeah, you don't know if that door is going to stay open.
Exactly. So, anyway, it just seems weird. But Zimbardo tries to manipulate Naomi with, like, I'll show you how to use your powers kind of deal. But Naomi sees through that shit. And fights him, knowing that he killed her parents. So she kind of puts two and two together, I think. Or maybe she knew from the start. I don't know. So they fight for a bit. Then there's some other, like, random woman that helps to save Naomi from this fight. And she knows who Akira is, which is supposed to be Naomi's biological mom. But when she throws that word out, the girl that's helping her was like... What was she saying?
Again? I thought Akira was, like, the aunt or something.
Hold on, let me get there.
There's something in that origin thing that was explained that someone named Akira was helping like her parents.
Oh, yes. She asks, are you Akira? And she says, dear Lord, you're her. And then she says, my name is Naomi. I think when I was a baby, I think you saved my life. And then she said, listen, Naomi, if you know that, you know your mother asks one thing of you, which is... to get out of here. And then she throws her through like the portal going back to Earth.
Yeah.
So there's some like weird stuff there that we don't really know about. I'm kind of interested in knowing what that is. But yeah, she throws her through the portal, which goes back to Earth. And then what's his face? Zimbardo tries to go through that same portal as well. But then Naomi does like this sweet ass uppercut and hits him back into the portal before it closes.
But so first she grabs him by the tentacles.
Yeah, grabs him by the tentacles.
Rips him out. And then uppercuts him.
I think she rips it out with the punch just because of how...
Right, like grabbed him with one hand, punch with the other.
Like this is a fucking Super Smash Bros. KO type fucking
Oh,
hit.
Yeah, dude, perfect way to describe it.
Like, that's exactly I see this going like. In slow motion, hearing a little... and then poof,
and then like the poof,
yeah, and then KO whatever. So Zambato was definitely on that 99%, and then she hit him with that last hit.
Right.
And so then it kind of just like ends there. Almost like she wins. She takes a moment with everybody to like catch her breath, and then she's like, I'm going to go see what my powers can really do. And then she flies off and it ends.
Oh, I hated that last couple pages.
Yeah, it was a little awkward, huh?
Like her dad was like, just sit down, relax. She's like, I'm never going to sit down again or something like that.
And then the mom was like, I'm so insanely proud of you. And then she flies off. Like, this all happened in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
From finding out that D is a Thanagarian to going to a whole other Earth, finding out who your parents are, finding out who your biological parents are.
Yeah.
Going to a different Earth and uppercutting some dude back into like a portal. Like, this seems like you'd want to be like, this is kind of crazy, right? But yeah, then she seems pretty cool with it.
Yeah, it was kind of cheesy how it ended, but I guess like how to know how you wrap it up with however many pages you have left.
Yeah, true. But
we
did kind of skip over it, but I do think that the fight between her and Zimbardo is like really well colored.
Oh yeah, super colorful.
Like you could tell it feels like a Super Saiyan kind of fight in this, but in like this context.
Yeah, you definitely just kind of brushed over it. There wasn't much to say other than it's like really cool.
Like they're fighting for a bit, but yeah, it is really cool. He's just really good with fight scenes and poses and stuff. So really interesting stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So
that's the end of the book there.
So what would you rate this on a scale of whatever?
I'd probably give this a Cold Stone love it.
I'd also give it a love it. I did like this. This was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was expecting.
I don't really know either. Yeah.
I feel like I've read a lot of Bendis's High Regard stuff, and so I wasn't. And this is honestly the first thing that I've read of his since coming to DC, because I didn't really jump on Superman or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, this was cool to see that he still got the chops for, like, new characters and whatnot.
Yeah, especially new, like, teenage characters, because it's going to be kind of hard to, like, write teenage characters well.
Yeah, it almost seems like kid and teenage characters that are supposed to be, like, relatable to, like, young comic readers, like, are kind of forced.
Yeah.
But this seemed, like, much better than that.
Yeah, I think he does it pretty naturally.
Absolutely.
I think Bendis has done a lot of really good stuff in DC so far. Like, I do like his Superman. I fell off of Action Comics but was staying on Superman. I really liked his Batman Universe like Walmart book with Nick Darrington.
Right.
I think that was actually really good.
Okay.
But anyway, we'll go into Back Matter Matter for this book.
Back Matter Matters.
There's not a whole lot. There's like an afterword which I read, and this was like one of the first books that Bendis was working on for DC. I don't know if you remember, but right after he accepted the DC gig, as he was sort of getting everything ramped up, he like was super ill with something, and he was told that he wasn't gonna like get better, and he like almost died.
Yeah, I remember that.
But now he's like back to full health, and like this is one of the characters that David Walker and him were working on for like a really long time, and he kind of goes into like his relationship with David Walker, where they like teach comic classes together, and they like partnered together on like Miles Morales and stuff. And while he was in the hospital, David Walker was like there like almost every day. So pretty good bros, these boys. Yeah. And then he said that he knew nothing about Jamal Campbell, but he likes him.
Yeah, so and then we got some character designs, like Naomi with some flats, and then
how do you colored. Like her costume?
It's pretty dope.
Really good. I like the shoulder pads.
Yeah, kind of gives me Aquaman vibes a little bit.
Maybe I hate just the feet. That's the only thing.
You know, I like some open-toed concept. That's cool.
Is that open-toed? Yeah, I don't like it.
her gauntlets are kind of cool.
There's a...
And the shoulder pads.
Dope. Shoulder pads are crucial. I like the crescent. Reminds me of like a Moon Knight. But yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah, tons
very
of
shiny. The scribbles. Gauntlets are really cool as well.
They obviously went through a few things with their hair to kind of figure that out.
You think so?
Did you look at this gray page?
Oh, I haven't looked at the gray page.
No. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's more pencils for designs.
There's character designs of all of her friends, which we barely see, but apparently there's a guy in there named Nathan.
Who? Wait, what?
On the second page where there's the D character design, he's the dude all the way to the left. And I don't remember seeing this dude whatsoever. I think it was when they were all like in the woods, like talking to each other. Like, we don't really see a good look at him, but his name is Nathan.
It might have been that thing where it was just like a full page of like interviews of people.
That could have been it as well.
But they didn't say names or whatever, so that's probably it.
Yeah. Also, D is huge as well. We've said this
before. Yeah, he's like twice as big as everyone else.
I just love how big he is. He's great.
It's awesome.
And then, yeah, Jamal does... He was like drawing Naomi, but he like does really well with drawing like just normal like...
Proportions?
Like in poses and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's ones of her just like typing on a computer or just like sitting somewhere. And so he's really good at sort of like candid poses, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like some pretty cool character designs.
Yeah, this is a really interesting page just to look at. It looks like just a page of like every possibility that she could be of things that she can be wearing or
how her hair is.
Her hair is or things she could be doing and stuff.
Yeah, there's a bunch of interesting choices. I wish she had the plaid pants. I don't know if you could see that one.
Yeah, that was a bad call.
Season 2, plaid pants Naomi, I want it.
Make it happen.
Yeah, that's Back Matter Matters.
Yeah, pretty tame. Bit
of a short one. I didn't think we were going to have any because the whole trade's only like 130 pages, but then yeah. You find out most of it is double page spreads. So,
right.
So with that, we'll go into the pull list, : shove it in your box.
The pull list, what did you shove in your box? Nathan, I just had one comic today.
You just had one comic today?
One comic.
What was that one comic today?
Skull Digger and Skeleton Boy number 6.
That sounds great.
It's the final issue of the series.
That sucks. I love that series.
It's so good.
And I want it to go for forever.
A part of the Black Hammer universe.
It's honestly like incredible.
Yeah, it's unfair how good it is. Like, I wish I could do this.
Exactly.
But like, if I were to try to do it, it'd be like, are you trying to be the next Black Hammer? Maybe.
The artist is unreal. His name's Tonchi Zanjic. It's like very, I don't even know if I've pronounced it right, but
probably not.
But he's very, very good.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I totally forgot to go to the comic shop today.
Wow. And
I tried to go on my way here, but apparently they close at 6.
Wow.
So I'm gonna go tomorrow and I'm gonna pick up
Skull Digger.
Nothing from Marvel. Batman Black and White number 3 came out. I really enjoyed Batman Black and White number 2.
Okay.
Let's see. Was there any Image books? Oh, Crossover number 4 I'm going to pick up.
Are you reading that?
I have all of them.
I plan to.
I definitely plan on reading it.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah.
Alrighty.
What did you read though this week?
So I'd been working a ton, so I didn't read 7 issues like I had promised myself.
I didn't either.
But I did read 6, which is close enough because
Oh, that's very good.
Because of the outage, yeah. So I read The Last Ronin, issue 2. Did you read that?
You said that last week.
No, that was
issue 1.
I picked it up yesterday, last week.
No, but I haven't read it yet. I haven't read it yet. Very good?
It's very good. It's getting a little confusing just because like, I think if I knew the lore a little bit better as far as characters, it might be easier. But there's like a lot of like names and then they refer to people. I'm like, who's that again?
Are the rhinos in there?
No rhinos. Mm. Still solid. It's a very nice issue because the first issue was cool. This is kind of like background.
How many is that supposed to be? I think it's supposed to be like 3 issues, right?
3 or 4, I think.
Okay.
And then I caught up on Firepower. I read issues 4 through 8.
Nice.
It's awesome. I love it. It's so good.
Did they mention Bebop and Rocksteady
in the TMNT book? No Bebop or Rocksteady in there.
Okay. I was trying to remember their names. So I had to look it up.
I remember Rocksteady, but I can't remember who's who.
Bebop. Okay, Firepower.
Very good. Yeah, I was a little confused because there's like a gap between the prequel trade and then also number 1. And they're saying a lot of names that I didn't remember. But now that those characters are like in the normal issues, I'm like, oh yeah, that's that. And he's him, you know, and it's just kind of coming together.
Yep, that's that. And he's him. Got it.
It's a good book, though. Nice. I like it a lot. You would like it a lot. You just have to put time into it. That's it as far as comics. What did you...
I read Radiant Black number 1, the Image series.
How's that?
It's wonderful.
Is it?
I liked it a lot, actually.
Who's writing that?
I had his name in my head and then you asked me and then I went away.
Pop quiz.
Fucking Kyle Higgins.
Kyle Higgins.
Yep.
Okay.
He writes it. I don't think I've read anything from his, but it's essentially about a character. His name's Nathan.
Ah.
That's not the reason why it's good, but
the plot twist.
Essentially, like, Nathan is the character who moved to New York, or maybe he's moving back to New York where his parents are, but he tried to be a writer on his own, and then it didn't end up working, so he had to move back to his parents.
I don't think you really need to move anywhere to be a writer.
His brother, guess his name?
Daniel?
No, it's not. I can't remember what his name is.
Carter?
No.
Serena?
I can't remember. It wasn't anything. But his brother, I guess, is like a successful writer, and so like he lives there, and not at his parents' house, but like in the same city. And then they go to a bar and they're really drunk, and Nathan's like, I'm a failure or whatever. And then they find this thing that's just like floating in the middle of a railroad track, and Nathan touches it, and then he turns into Radiant Black, which is like the superhero. He ends up like levitating like a train by accident when like cops are like trying to question them on like this railroad track.
Huh.
And so he has no idea what this is, but they get away from some cops that are probably going to try and look for him now. And he's like, what the fuck is all this? I don't want to do any of this. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty cool. And the cliffhanger was, there's another Radiant Black man, but he's red.
Ooh, Radiant Red.
Yeah, Radiant Red. But Radiant Black was blue, so I don't know why it's not Radiant Blue.
I don't know.
That's a good question. Maybe I'll learn. So it was pretty good. And then I am catching up on Green Lantern, because I think of the season two, I have all the issues. I've only read up to issue two. So
okay,
I started reading more of that, and it's crazy. And extremely creative and a little confusing, just like Grant Morrison writes. So
right. I tried reading Rorschach, like number two,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's been so long because there's like five out.
Yeah.
I read the first one when it came out, and I think I need to reread that one. And
just skim through it. I read issue two, and I didn't feel like I was lost, really.
Okay. Are there any characters I need to know other than Rorschach?
You kind of figure it out, I think.
Okay. I'll just kind of shotgun it and see how that goes.
Yeah, just skim through it. There's like the detective guy that you need to know.
Okay.
And then maybe a couple people that he talks to normally, but
yeah, so I started like reading that guy. And then my Wi-Fi came back on. I'm like, shit,
damn it,
I have to work now. But yeah, did you watch anything?
I watched a couple things.
Okay.
Have you heard of Midnight Gospel on Netflix?
No.
It's a really interesting show because it's by Duncan Trussell, who's this guy that I guess...
That sounds delicious.
Yeah. I guess it's this guy who used to live with Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And he has his own podcast now. He had, like, cancer, and then he, like, survived cancer, and so now he's very spiritual.
Okay.
And so he makes this show called Midnight Gospel, and it is very trippy. It's, like, Adventure Time, but up the trippiness by, like, four.
Whoa.
And it's essentially a podcast that's animated, and there's like an underlying thing happening like in the podcast. So for example, in the first episode, which is the only one I watched, the main character is this dude that just hops to different universes and interviews people. And So he goes to this universe where he's interviewing the president, but there's a zombie apocalypse going on at the same time. And so they're like surviving the zombie apocalypse, but they're not really acknowledging it. It's just kind of a thing that's happening in the background. And then there's like a couple throwaway lines, but the purpose of it is to make their points. Like in this conversation, they were talking about whether there's such a thing as good drugs or bad drugs, or if it's just like your relationship with it. And so like they're talking about things that are like very like serious, but very like down to earth. But then there's just like this crazy like underlying like thing that you're watching them do, which is survive a zombie apocalypse.
Huh.
It's very good.
Okay.
I would recommend, I think you'd like it. It's like just listening to a podcast, which I like to do, but then there's like crazy visuals.
That sounds cool.
That's like animated with it. I think it's really cool.
So Weekly Planet does that every now and then. They'll like record an episode and then someone like animates what they're talking about.
Yeah, imagine that, but Netflix produced it.
Oh man.
And it looks like Adventure Time level, but a little bit trippier.
Sick. That sounds cool.
Yeah. And then just in the visuals, they're like, there's like its own story going on too. It's very crazy. So I watched that, and that was like a new thing that I got introduced to.
Okay.
And then I finished season two of Umbrella Academy.
Yes,
dude, what a fucking crazy season. Oh my God.
I know. I'm so glad you finished that. I thought you were going to be like, I watched another episode.
No,
like,
I watched two and I finished it.
Nice.
It's very good.
Oh, I love it.
It was pretty crazy to see the bitch that Diego was into also having powers.
Yeah. She's just like another, like, what's her name?
Vanya.
Vanya. She's like another Vanya, right?
She's like another everybody. She was like able to replicate everybody's powers.
Oh, yeah. If it's like used,
she could teleport
or something
with like five and could rumor like Allison could and can do all that. So
I think she has to be like near them though.
I think, yeah, I think so.
So it's not like she's just like a super
bitch. It's not super clear how it works. But then there's that like Swedish dude that had like both of his brothers killed. He like killed the commissioner and shit like that.
Yeah. And he kills like the,
and like
that one girl, that one lady,
the one lady. Yeah. And so the commission's like all in shambles and shit now. And then Herb, you remember Herb, the best character in the whole fucking show, the little dude.
That was in
the infinite switchboard room.
Yeah.
Yeah. With glasses. Yeah, he's like now head of the commission. And I was like, yeah, like I was watching it with Ben and we were like, fucking Herb. Yeah. So, it's a very good show. I'm interested in what they're going to do for season three.
I think
it's... Oh, and at the end, they got back home and Ben is alive. It's like edgy Ben now.
Yeah, like they changed like the time.
Yeah.
And it's now like the, not Umbrella Academy, but like something else.
The Sparrow Academy.
The Sparrow Academy. And like he's like...
Ben is like alive and seemingly the leader of it. Dude, that scene where Ben died in season two.
Oh, dude, fucked me up.
It fucked me up, dude.
Yeah, dude.
I was like, I had a tear.
So like on top of like, I was like all the shit that... that dude's, what's his name, Klaus has to go through, on top of that his brother has to die like again. So brutal.
I love it. Such a good show.
Yeah, it was awesome. I'm really glad you like pushed me to watch that.
Yeah,
because I thought you were wrong. And then
it's funny how I pushed you to watch it and then you finished it and I was slowly just kept
catching up. I think I have more time to waste, so I can commit to things.
Yeah, it's very good though.
So you know what? I think they're being very on point as far as like each trade is a season. Cause like,
I don't know. I haven't read it.
Cause the first trade is, you know, whatever. And then the second trade is called Dallas. So in the second season, they're in Dallas like the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll end on a third season where the third trade ends.
I'm glad that the season three doesn't seem like it's going to be like, oh, we have to stop the apocalypse again a third time.
Yeah, no, it just seems like...
I was a little worried about that, but I knew that they were probably smarter than that.
I'd be kind of down for it, though. Like, I would just be like, all right.
Bonnie's going to do some shit again.
Yes.
So, good stuff.
So, I say that because that means we can read the first trade of Umbrella Academy, and then once, like, the third season comes out, we can read the trade for the third trade, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Third season is not coming out till 2022, so...
Fuck. Yeah, so...
Early, but, yeah. Good stuff.
Anyway,
what did you watch?
I watched this show. It's like the show I watch with Sarah. It's like a, call it like a girlfriend show. Okay. Like there's things that we both watch individually, and this is like
a
relationship show. Yeah.
Okay.
It's called Imposters. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's normally on like normal TV, but streams on Netflix. It's like, It's like real life. It's like this dude who's like newly engaged, has like a really good life, nice house, nice job and whatnot. And then he comes home and like all of his like valuables are missing. Like his bank account is like empty. His like company credit card has been like maxed out. A second mortgage has been taken out on his house.
Hmm.
And like there's just like a URL like written on the fridge saying like Mrs. whatever.com. It was like his name.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a video of his new wife saying like, you'll never see me again. I took everything. And then he's also like, she's also like, don't come looking for me or else, the thing that's in like the freezer will be like released to the public. And it's like this, it's like blackmail for this dude.
What's the blackmail?
The blackmail ends up being that like his dad has been like unfaithful to his mom.
Okay.
And so he's just, and that was all in like the first episode, like this is revealed. The way I explain it doesn't sound that exciting, but as I was watching it, I was like, all right, what's this gonna be? And then it happens, I'm like, oh fuck, like this guy is fucked.
Oh cool.
And so I was like, no.
How long does this go, the show?
It's like two seasons, 10 okay. episodes each.
Nice.
And so, and then it just kind of builds on top of each other. Like he, apparently she like does this for like a living. Like she's like a con artist.
Oh, wow.
She like falls in love
with somebody.
Yeah. Falls in love with it. Makes dudes fall in love with her. They're all targeted. She has someone who targets them and has people that she works with. Hmm. And then the main character ends up running into another one of her like past husbands.
Wow.
And they try and like team up and try and like find her and stuff like that.
That's cool.
And it's so good.
Imposter?
Yeah, Imposters. It's on Netflix.
That sounds good.
I would recommend watching it with like Sophia or something.
That sounds good.
Cause like I texted mom like right away. I'm like, dude, have you seen the show Imposters? She's like, I don't know. And then she looks up on Netflix. She's like, which one? Cause I guess there's a couple things. And like, oh, the middle one. She's like, oh yeah, I've seen this. We're finished with it. I'm like, what the fuck?
What do you mean? I think so. Like,
yeah, she like just forgets about things, I guess. And then she's like, it doesn't seem like a show you'd be into. And as I explain it, it doesn't seem like something I'd be interested in. But Sarah just put it on randomly. I'm like, what the fuck is this? This is awesome.
Yeah, it's a cool fucked up situation.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, this is a nightmare.
Yeah.
And then it's a show I was just so stressed out about.
Nice.
It just builds on top of each other and then turns it into like this heist thing at the end of the first season. And
Very cool.
I'm watching like the second season right now.
Sweet.
Yeah, so I spoiled like a little bit of it, but
that's fine.
Not like the beef of
nothing major.
Yeah, enough to like kind of sell it. But yeah,
shall we go into WandaVision?
Yeah, Fridays are for the WandaVision.
Yes, they sure are. I was right.
I know. As soon as it happened, I'm like, "Fuck, Nathan's right."
I mean, like, it's pretty easy to tell.
But it wasn't obvious because I was still doubtful.
Really. I think they did really well with the scene where she was in the car, very outside of everything in Vision. Like, it almost got me. I was like,
"Yeah,
it's weird." But
you're like, "What if she's faking?" I'm like, "How is she faking?"
I think
she totally was faking.
It was the laughing like that got me. I was like, "She's hysterical and trying to scare him. She's faking it."
Mm-hmm.
And so I was right. So Agatha Harkness, which makes sense. Agatha Harkness.
Okay. Yeah.
Pretty good.
I don't know who that villain is.
Witch from Salem Witch Trials, essentially.
Oh, the idea. Okay.
So who knows what's going on there? But anyway, before that reveal, which there's that kick-ass song, Agatha All Along.
Yeah,
love that song.
And then they reveal that she even killed like Sparky.
Yeah, fuck her.
I'm like, what the fuck?
I know,
she's a villain.
Yeah, she absolutely is. See, that's what I was saying. I was like, it seems like she killed Sparky and made all these things. But anyway. The style that it was shot in was like Modern Family.
Absolutely Modern Family. It was so sick.
It was awesome. It was like perfect.
So is that 2000s or 2010s?
2000s, I would probably say.
Yeah, I think the last one was probably more 90s.
But. Yeah. So I think that's probably it for as far as sitcoms go. Like,
there's anything definitive.
I don't think the TV show is still going on, you know? Unless like Agatha is like controlling her in some way and she makes her go through like a 2010 sitcom, which would be like How I Met Your Mother, maybe. I don't know.
How I Met Your Mother would be like,
what's like a 2010 sitcom?
I feel like Modern Family is probably the most
that's like the most modern
version of that. Yeah, like I don't know what
you can do. I loved it though. I love like the talking heads and shit, and she's like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and then like the little was, like going crazy. Little side interviews and stuff like that,
little cheap jokes. Even the Vision was like, what is going on here?
It's so crazy how the cinematography like changes and like the quality of like video changes, and I'm like, this looks so good.
It does. And like even like, yeah, they really do a good job of replicating like the cinematography of sitcoms.
Uh-huh.
And this one, they were like zooming in on people as they were talking, or like even like the little music in the background says she's like trying to pour herself cereal. It was like boom, doo, doo, boom, boom, or whatever.
Yeah.
And it like just keeps you interested. And it's just, that's like one of the things I love about it. It's just the production of it, the production quality of it.
Especially like this one where everything is getting kind of glitchy.
Yeah.
And so it's like shifting between like these eras. And then
you know for sure she's losing it or something. Yeah.
I like how like the milk was changing like in her hand or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she like smells the milk. Like, right before I'm like, wait, is it good milk still?
Yeah. Who knows?
Cause it goes from like a jug to like a carton.
Yeah.
To like the little bottles that they had.
Yeah. Really trippy stuff.
And
then Vision finds out about everything.
Yeah. Vision
through
what's her name? Darcy Lewis. He like wakes her up or whatever.
Uh huh.
And they run away from this carnival thing.
He's supposed to be a circus. I like how they just assumed he was a clown. I thought that worked well.
And then Scarlet Witch is trying to stop them from going to the house.
Oh, Monica Rambeau's powers.
Does she, though?
Yeah. You saw her do a superhero landing?
So it doesn't mean she had powers.
She's got like little things going on with her eyes. They're very blue. She could see energies. She's becoming Photon or whatever her superhero name is. What is it again?
Okay.
Dr. Light?
Photon? I think Dr. Light. But anyway, like, yeah, she goes back into the dome.
Yeah. Because we know her from Next Wave.
Also known as Photon, Pulsar, and beginning in 2013, Spectrum.
We know her as what? Photon?
I don't know her as anything.
When we read Next Wave, I think it was Photon, right? Or was it Spectrum?
I thought they just called her Monica.
They kind of just did, but anyway, she's doing that. We see hints of her powers. Like, I'm pretty sure she's got...
So
I'm almost positive she's had powers before this. I don't think it was the hex that was activating it.
Uh-huh. Possible.
It's yeah.
So do you think Marvel will be here in like 10 years?
Do I think
like the Marvel MCU? In 2030, will these movies in this universe still be going on?
Yeah.
Do you think it's possible that we get a Next Wave show
or maybe. Movie? Yeah.
Like that now that this is a character, that's now a possibility.
Yeah.
It's totally on the table.
Do you think we'd get that crazy of a show? Probably. I mean, people would probably be...
We got WandaVision.
Exactly. Like, there's nothing that's off the table, essentially.
Yeah. But anyway.
I want to see an Elsa Bloodstone. That was the character I was trying
to
remember.
Oh, yeah. She's cool.
That bitch, she was cool.
But anyway, so... She is kind of showing her powers or whatever, and what's her name is really mad about that.
Wanda.
Wanda's very mad that she's there again.
Also, her aerospace engineer friend was just some chick. Seems like
aerospace Aaron.
Remember, she like mentioned that she's like, I know an aerospace engineer that could help us out with these calculations or whatever. And then she left it at that, and everybody was like, Reed Richards. But it was just somebody, which I'm cool with. I didn't want another crazy big reveal. Do you think that's Quicksilver? Because did you see the mid-credit scene?
The Nexus one?
No.
Oh, mid-credit scene. There's a mid-credit scene?
Yeah.
Fuck, no. What was that?
Monica goes over to Agatha's house, and there's like a little basement door thing on the outside. You know, the doors that are like, you open up like this and
yeah, go like into a storm door kind of thing?
Yeah, she opens that up. She sees some of the Agatha Harkness branches that are outlined in purple. Uh-huh. And then Quicksilver's there and is like, hey, what's up? Or he says something weird, but he seems like he's in normal street clothes.
So he's normal and he's just down there.
He like sneaks up kind of behind her. So it almost insinuates that he's working with Agatha, but it's not very clear.
So the way the end of the episode ended, it showed like everything throughout the show that she had a hand in to kind of like...
Which part of it was Quicksilver.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, Quicksilver isn't actually there. And he's just like...
I think it has to be.
But the fact that he's there in that basement scene or whatever, probably. Yeah, just...
I think he's
being forced to do this shit for Agatha.
There's no way that it was like a fake out.
Like
the implications of having Evan Peters, like there's no way it's not some sort of...
Connection
to X-Men, you know? They wouldn't do that just for funsies, you know? Uh-huh. So I think it is like Quicksilver from a different universe being forced to fuck with Wanda.
Yeah, I hope for that.
It's got to be that.
So,
100% sure. So
this was episode 7?
I think so. So we have 2 more?
Yeah, supposedly.
Yeah, so who knows what
it's supposed to end on like the 5th, March 5th, and then the next show will start on like the 19th or whatever. So we'll have like one weekend with nothing.
March is a big nerd week.
Definitely big nerd week.
Because Invincible also starts and then Snyder Cut.
Dude, I get a bonus like on the same day that Invincible comes out, and it's 3 episodes of Invincible. 3-hour-long episodes of Invincible. So it'll just be an incredible day.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so.
Cool stuff.
Can't wait.
Well, let's figure out what we're going to read next week, Daniel.
What did we read last week?
Last week we read Black Bolt.
Oh, yeah. So we got an indie book.
Which, how crazy that we were talking about him being on Predator, and then he posts a Predator picture, and then we were talking about Death's Head, and he posts about Death's Head.
Christian Ward.
Yeah.
It's so crazy that some guy has a collection of Death's Head stuff.
Yeah, and also Christian Ward was pushing to have Death's Head in this book.
Yeah, just for...
The most random character.
Just for funsies?
Yeah, for fun. So weird. So, we could do an independent book. You mentioned one that I think we could probably do. What was it?
Umbrella Academy?
Yeah, we could do Umbrella. What about Firepower? I guess you did just read it, but...
I can definitely reread it. So, like, there is, like, the first trade of, like, the normal series, and then there's a prequel. Do you have Wicked and Divine on there?
I don't, but that's... a good option.
I read the first issue of that and I was like, meh.
But there's also Ice Cream Man. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, I've read that.
You've read it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it good?
It's interesting. It definitely like, well, and it's kind of creepy.
Okay.
It's mostly very creepy. It definitely would work. And I thought of it as like a Halloween book that we could do.
Okay.
As it came by.
So you're saying Wicked and Divine might be a good one?
I was just looking up like popular like image stuff, and I've never given that one a chance really.
I never have either.
There's also like East of West. Is pretty popular.
Is that the Hickman one?
Yeah.
We haven't done a Hickman book, have we? Do you want to be really confused by a Hickman book?
It's very possible. I read it a couple years ago. I don't know if I was smart enough to understand it because I read it. I'm like, okay.
I tried to read the Manhattan Project and I was like, I don't know what's going on here. I'm down for the Wicked and the Divine. It's one of those ones that I feel like are pretty popular.
Are we going to do I Hate Fairyland?
Ooh, let's do that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Right,
cool.
Five issues. Let's do it.
Is he write and draw this?
He writes and draws it and also has Jean-François Bellou that helps him draw it, I think. Or maybe he's the colorist. I don't know. But I think, yeah, he definitely has like some drawing in this, which you can kind of tell in these preview pages.
It looks like his vibes.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I'm super down for this.
Cool. Let's do it.
Cool. I Hate Fairyland. Volume 1. Madly Ever After.
All right. Cool. Yeah, that'd be good.
That's the show for this week then. Thank you all for listening to the Trade Waiters podcast. You can, what do we say? You can email us at trade, or you can email us at tradewaiterspod@gmail.com.
Tell us what you want us to read.
Exactly.
Have you checked that email recently?
Yes.
Okay.
We are at tradewaiterspod on Twitter. Got lots of things going on there. Tweeting. I've been tweeting. I'm at more like Nate Thick on Twitter. NATHICC. I've been also tweeting things there.
Real Daniel Alejandro on Instagram and @DanielAlejandro on TikTok.
Thank you, Nathan Moss, for the music, and thank nobody else for any other music that's in the show.
You stop that. It's old. He did the main theme. I did the rest.
It's fine. Anyway, thank you all for listening. Later.
Yeah, bye.